I want to begin reading in verse 10 of Acts chapter 17. Of course, Paul had been at Thessalonica, and he'd had some problems. Folks kind of got stirred up everywhere Paul went. Because he was preaching against their idolatry and their dead religion and so on, you know. And they brought one guy here where they thought Paul was and got the other guy in trouble. The scriptures, always, when they're preached in the power of God, people have to take sides. Some gets glad, some gets mad.
Yeah.
Some come, some go.
Yes.
But that's the way it was then. So begin at verse 10 in Acts chapter 17. The Bible said, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Father, we thank you for the scriptures, and we thank you for the saints of God. Thank you for this open door we have to try to proclaim the truth here. Thank you for this good church. Everyone's present tonight, Lord. As many of the visitors, we pray for each one. Pray that you'd open our hearts and minds to understand the truth tonight. Be upon us, speak to us, and through us tonight in a special way. Make us a blessing, Lord, to the saints of God. And I pray for old-time conviction on the hearts, Lord, of those that are not saved. Oh, God, shine the gospel on them. May they see the need of a Savior tonight. May they be obedient to the faith we humbly and sincerely pray. In Jesus' blessed name with thanksgiving. Amen. I'm trying to preach tonight on the search of the scriptures. I want to say, first of all, thank God for the scriptures.
Amen.
All scriptures give them inspiration of God. Holy men of God spake as they're moved by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
The Lord gave the word, and great was the coming of those that published it. Forever, O Lord, thy word settled in heaven. You know, the scriptures is wonderful. At this time, of course, they didn't even have the New Testament scriptures. They were searching the Old Testament scriptures. That's what Paul is preaching from. He's telling about, you know, how that we got where we are even at that time. Talking about Jesus and his death and burial and resurrection. Salvation by grace through faith. And just persuading people this is the right way. Of course, some of them didn't like it. Some of them believed, though. Great multitudes a lot of times believe. So I say thank God for the scriptures. You're saved tonight because of the scriptures. Of course, you're saved because of the Savior. And you're saved because of the saints. There's a lot of ways God providentially got you to the right place, got somebody with the right message to get to where you are. And we can shout all night about that, couldn't we? I say often, I wasn't looking for God. I didn't go to church to get saved. I went because some friends asked me, and they act like they enjoy it. What's going on at that church house? And they was rejoicing in the Lord and preaching hellfire and brimstone and porky lightning. And I got an old-time conviction. Didn't get saved that night. Wasn't many nights I got saved. Got saved and been saved ever since. That's been more than half a century. I say, praise God. You know, Jesus told the Jews in John 5:39, he said, search the scriptures for in them, that is in the scriptures, you think you have eternal life, and there they will testify me. Some folks think because they believe some scriptures they're saved. I take nothing away from the scriptures, thank God for the word of God, but Christ said, you will not come to me that you might have life. So the written word produces the living word in you. You're getting begotten with the written word. And when you get born again, it bursts the living word into you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. So, the salvation not in the Bible, salvation's in a person, Jesus Christ. When you get Him, it makes the Bible real to you. When I say Bible, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? I think there's just one Bible. Just one scriptures, preserved scriptures, inspired scriptures, preserved to our present moment of time. That's an authorized version. I say praise God. So here, the Berean believers were more noble than those of Thessalonica, and they searched the scriptures daily. That's what we need to do. Search the scriptures daily. If you search the scriptures daily, you find out that all men outside Christ are sinners before God. There's none good, no, not one. There's none that understand it. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can't reach what God requires. We're just sinners by birth, sinners by choice, sinners by practice, and left ourselves, we just go on and on and on in our sins. And I'm glad that God Almighty preserved His Word and called some preachers to give us the Word of God to us, aren't you? We've sinned to come short. And wherefore one man sinned in the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men because all have sinned. So there's no such thing really as a good sinner. Everybody's sinners outside of Christ. Even it reminds us in Ephesians 2, you had the quickness them who were dead in trespassing and sin. In time past, you walked according to the course of this world. That's what we used to do. We was going on the broad road. But I'm glad it's different now. I want to take a minute out and say, praise God. He is rich in mercy. At the counsel of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. We didn't do it. He did it for us. But we were sinners, now we're saints. And I don't go around saying we're sinners saved by grace. I say we're saints saved by grace. As far as God's concerned, if you're saved, there's nothing wrong with you. Because He put Christ in you and on you, give you righteousness of Christ. When God sees you, He sees you in Christ, and He don't see anything wrong with Christ, therefore He doesn't see anything wrong with you in relationship. That's positional truth. We've been raised up together and made to set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So if you're saved, you're in Christ. When God sees you, He sees you in Christ. That's enough to rejoice about. Amen.
Yes,
I'm glad I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. And Christ is the hope of glory. If you search the scriptures, you find out that sinners, apart from Christ, His redeeming grace, go to hell when they die.
Yes.
That's not a pleasant subject, but it's a true subject.
Yes.
It's a true fact. There is a hell. A lot of people don't believe in hell now. You'd be surprised that the people don't even believe in hell. And we as Christians, I'm talking about the best Christians we've got now, don't believe in it like we should. If we believe it like God said in the Bible, we'd be stirred up more about it. We'd be witnessing to others. We'd be giving some people trouble. I mean, talking about witnessing and testifying for the Lord and the grace of God and what God's done for us. It'll really believe what we say we believe. Oh, me and amen. Don't you think so? See, when Christ talked about hell, He is very systematic. When He talked about wrath, He said in John 3:36, he that believeth in Christ has everlasting life. He that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on Him. That's a very serious statement there. It's awful to be a child of wrath. The wrath of God abiding on you. The next breath you can just plunge off into hell. Jesus said a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul. What would he give in exchange? He said, fear not him that's able to destroy the body. That's where he had no power. Fear him that's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a real place. Mark 9, the NIV leaves it out. Talking about the lake of fire, where their worm dies not and the fire is not quenched, leaves that up. But God didn't leave it up. It's a real fact and a truth. Souls are in hell tonight. People's burning in hell tonight. They're crying for water tonight. They're crying for mercy. It's too late. Hell is a real place. I want to start preaching on it more than I've been preaching on it. Because there's not much preaching about hell and wrath and eternal damnation and judgment. Jesus told the Pharisees one time, and the leaders, the religious, lost religious leaders, in Matthew, I think it's 23, he said, you fools and blind guides, how shall you escape the damnation of hell? That was religious people. That was people leading the people and trying to be front leaders in religious circles of the Pharisees. Listen, they was lost, they was on the road to hell. I'm glad I don't have to go to hell. One time I was preaching on hell, and a fellow started shouting. Somebody said, what are you shouting about? He said, because I don't have to go. Christ went for me. He paid my debt. I believe Christ suffered our hell upon the cross. I believe God imputed our sin to the person His Son, made His soul an offering for sin. He stood on the cross and He paid the ultimate sacrifice and suffered our penalty, died our death, praise God. The one the earthquake and the rocks went, and the last winter flame and talked about Him. When He said it's finished, God was satisfied with the punishment Jesus underwent and the price He paid. And now He can freely forgive folks like us. Ain't that amazing that God can freely forgive us? You know how God can freely forgive folks like us? Because Christ didn't get any mercy. He can have mercy on us. He was forsaken for us. And now He don't have to forsake us. He can still save us and still be as holy as ever and save such wicked sinners as we are and were. Ain't that amazing? God don't need any help. He does it all. Praise God. Jesus Christ stayed on the cross. Willingly, He said, no man takes my life from me. I'll prepare to lay it down, prepare to take it up again. He come down here to die for sinners. He come down to suffer our penalty. He come down to redeem us. I say, glory to God and the Lamb forever. That He did not come down. He could have come down the cross, but He couldn't come down to save us. So He didn't come down in order to save us. They said, you save yourself, then we'll believe you. If you're the King of the Jews, come down the cross. He could have come down, but He didn't come down. God could have got him down. He could have prayed and called 12 legions of angels. They could have delivered him. Well, he could have spoke the word and the whole elements would have went out. But he stayed on the cross. Paid off the debt in full. God ain't looking for nothing else. He's totally satisfied with the penalty and the price Jesus paid. Now, it's free grace. Praise God. You search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. You find out that salvation is apart from any works. It's by grace through faith. The kindness of God our Savior told man of fear, not works of righteousness we've done, according to his mercy he saved us. Here set up by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. No works involved. Which is shown us abundantly through Jesus Christ. Salvation is by grace through faith. Faith is a grace, but faith must be exercised. Faith is a gift. But God's not going to exercise it for you. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Romans 5. Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now God's already reconciled the world to himself, but it won't do any good if it's appropriated by faith. The reconciling work is all complete and accomplished. The work's been done. To wit, God is in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespass on them. In other words, your trespass was imputed to Christ. And Christ took the cross and paid off the debt and reconciled the world to God. Now God looks at the world in mercy. And Paul, the same passage right there in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, he said, now then we're ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. In other words, God's reconciled to himself. Now he told us to be reconciled to God. The word reconcile is the law term. It means to bring back on friendly terms. Now, God's not our enemy. We're God's enemy. See, if you're here lost, you're an enemy of God. Colossians 1, verse 21. You sometimes are alienating enemies in your mind by wicked works. Yes, the reason you're not saved is because you're an unbeliever. Unbelief is rebellion against God. Amen. Rebellion toward God. That makes you God's enemy. God's not your enemy. You're God's enemy. Yeah. Now, the only way to be reconciled to God is come to God's way. God's way is Jesus Christ. At the cross. So you come to the cross and exercise faith in Jesus Christ, his redemption work, and you get reconciled to God, brought back on friendly terms with God. Ain't that a blessing? That we're on friendly terms with God. Did you know something? And I don't have time to go into it, but the first message that God gave the church, that Jesus gave the church, he first said in Matthew 16, he's going to build his church upon that rock. There was a reveal to Peter. In chapter 18, the first instruction he gave the church is a reconciliation passage. That kind of amazed me when I found that out. You know, and a lot of these confused charismatics, you know, they'll take the verse that says, then the two of you on earth agree, so then we'll think it'll be enough for him, go lay your hands on a new Cadillac and claim it. Yeah, it has nothing to do with that. That's a reconciliation passage. That if a fellow remembers that a fellow's got all against him, he goes to him. If he gains him, he's gained his brother, if he hears him. And if he don't hear him, he takes two or three with him. And if he hears them, he's gained his brother. If you don't hear them, take it to the church. He's talking to the church. If you don't hear the church, let him be able to leave Peter, man, and a publican. And that very passage is where he said, if two or three of you agree touching any one thing, that is, we agree touching our differences.
Yes.
We agree to forgive, it'll be done for us in heaven. In other words, if we forgive one another, God forgives us. If we don't forgive one another, God don't forgive us. That's fellowship passage. The only way I can walk in fellowship with God is be forgiven towards you. I know you don't have anything wrong with you. And I know most of the time I think I don't have anything wrong with me. It's amazing how good we think we are. It is amazing how good we think, well, I've not done anything. Well, we might have said something to offend somebody. We might have done something to offend somebody. And well, it wouldn't hurt nothing. And they used to do this 50 years ago. They'd go cross the aisle and lay their hand around a brother or a sister's neck and tell them, hey, I said a hasty word I shouldn't have said. And I just don't feel right. I want you to forgive me. You agree, and it does for God. God does the same thing in heaven for you. And you reconcile together. And God can freely bless you then. That's why it's time. Time the church is up today. People don't have forgiveness spirit like they need.
That's right.
Amen. Yes. How did I get up on that anyway? Look here. Salvation, not by works. Did you know there's only two kinds of, well, we're called religions. There's a Christian called religion. Religion is what you do. Salvation is what God does. One believes, the Christian believes salvation is by grace through faith, minus works. Every other church, call themselves church or religion, they believe salvation by works, by grace plus works. Every one of them. You hem them up, they got some works involved. Now, if even works, not to be saved, as you say. Faith is not work. Faith is a grace. But as sure as you get saved in faith, it'll go to work. Galatians 5 and verse 6, in Christ Jesus, there's no more certain thing, uncertain thing, but faith which worketh by love. Know this, O man, that faith without works is dead, being wrong. So if you get faith, it'll have some works along with it.
Yes, sir.
No such thing as you get saved by grace and nothing more happening. In the Bible, no such thing as that in the Bible. I mean, you're going to have some fruit. You might not be full of fruit, but the fruit of the Spirit. You've got the fruit inside. The fruit, sing it. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So there's going to be some fruit. If you're saved, you're going to have the love of God, shed in heart with the Holy Ghost, and you're going to love the Lord and love other people. You may not love them fully like you should, but there's some love in your heart for God and His Word and His people if you're saved. We know we pass this life because we love the brethren. Ain't that right? Love's a distinguishing mark of Christianity. Love is. You not quit smoking. I think you ought to quit smoking. Anything that good ought not to be burned up, it ought to be chewed. And it ought not to be spit out. Ain't it amazing how something will get a hold of us and we just can't let it go? Seem not to be able to let it go. Listen, we're more than conquerors to Him that loves us. You can let anything go if you want to let it go. Anything that's hindering you and anything's wrong, you can let it go. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I had to have it. Everybody used to smoke. When I was coming up, you thought that was manly, you know. And then the women got smoking, they thought that was womanly. They thought 12, 13-year-old boys thought they were macho if they didn't start smoking. People smoked nearly all their lives back then. And they didn't think, anyway, I've seen preachers shout their lucky strikes out, not in the altar. You know, they didn't think nothing about it. But I'm telling you this. Listen, who wants to pay $5 or $6 for a pack of cigarettes when you can give it to God? Some missionary somewhere. So much for that, I'll kill the meat. You won't ever want to say. Salvation by grace through faith. Can you see that if you're here lost? Can you see that everything already done needs to be done to save you? If you'll come to God's terms, He'll save you without you understanding anymore. He'll save you without you understanding anymore. Look here. Search the Scriptures. If you search the Scriptures, you find out that the Lord loved the lost world so much that Jesus Christ, when He looked down here, He didn't see a worthy world. He saw an unworthy world. He didn't see a world worth loving. Somebody said, I don't see how God saw, see what God saw in me to come to save. Well, He didn't see anything good in you or me either.
That's right.
He saw a helpless, undeserving, depraved, totally lost sinner and come down here and died for us anyhow.
Amen.
What do you think about that? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son.
Yeah.
And Christ willingly, laid aside all His riches and became poor that we through His poverty might be made rich. Did you know we're rich folks now? Actually, America's rich in materialism, but we're rich spiritually. I have nothing against you having things. I have something against things having you. We got rich in that Christian goods. Now we have need of nothing. We got to get back to our things. You know, and I don't believe in dragging the service. I like the way Brother Johnson carries service on. Get on with it. Do what you're going to do. But if God gets in it, and somebody gets to pray Him, and saints get to rejoice Him, I've been there at 11 to 12 o'clock when they're still rejoicing. People are getting saved. And they don't have to go back to things. And I know we're in it every time. I'm not that much of a radical. I know some people have to work midnight shifts and afternoon shifts, and some people don't even have to work. Ain't that a blessing? If you can't do it, let them know. They'll send you something. God, are you glad God loved you when you was unlovable? You think about this. Here you are tonight, if you're lost. Here you are, a rebel against God. You might not be much better. You might not be as bad as that other fellow, but you're as bad off as He is. And God loves you in spite of what's the matter with you. And Christ died for you in spite of what's wrong with you. God committed His love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, God loved us. And listen, saved us when we didn't have any strength, Romans 5, 6. We were yet without strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We didn't have any strength to come. We wouldn't come to Him if He didn't come to us. You got He comes to you and initiates the conversation, and then you come to Him because He draws you, shows you that He loves you.
Yeah.
Ain't that a blessing?
Yes,
We wasn't worth loving now. Don't misunderstand that. We wasn't worth loving. No. If we got what we deserve now, we'd still be damned. But we don't get what we deserve. Christ took what we deserve. Christ paid off our debt. Christ went to hell for us. Now we get mercy. Mercy is God withholding from us what we deserve. We'll never get what we deserve if we're saved. We get grace. Ain't that amazing? I wish I could run around here a little bit. If my leg wasn't bad, I'd kind of run around this place tonight. I'm glad God loved me in spite of us. I didn't understand. The Bible said we didn't. There's none that understand it. There's nothing seeking after God. I didn't understand my need. I didn't understand how Christ could love me that much. I didn't understand how God could shed the love of God abroad in my heart. I didn't understand what the church believed. I didn't understand anything much about what the Bible said. I just know they told me I was a sinner, and God helped me to believe that. And they told me Christ died for me, and his name, God helped me to believe that. I just come on that and ask for mercy, and God lies and showing mercy, and I got mercy. And now I don't get wrath.
Amen.
I mean, that's all I understood. So happy. So, you know, a lot of people, they thank God if you understand them verses. I didn't understand nothing about that. I didn't know how to pray. I just cried for mercy. I didn't know what you're supposed to say. I wasn't a praying man. I was a drinking man, a cussing man. I don't believe that. I was going the wrong way. But when God convicted me, he started me on the praying road. Once you come to God for salvation, you don't never stop coming. Once you cry for mercy, you don't never stop crying for mercy. You said, don't work that way with me. You just get saved and see if it don't work that way. Once you get saved, you'll see it. Just keep, when you don't know what to say and don't know what to do, at least you can get out on your knees, if you can get on your knees, and cry for mercy and thank him for saving. And praise God. He delights in showing mercy, and it's going to be mercy all the way. Hallelujah. Search the scriptures, you find out that God loves us. And he loves us as much as wrong with us.
Yes, sir.
Ain't that a blessing?
Yeah.
He loved, here's what, look down in verse 27, you got the Bible. Oh, Paul's preaching here at Mars Hill. Here's what's supposed to do, sinner. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. One person said, now, we don't believe in seeking here. I said, I know it. It shows up on you. Did you know about called seek the Lord? Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. The saints are supposed to seek the Lord for a closer walk, a spirit filling, the bed of life. Sinners are supposed to seek the Lord for salvation. Here's some of these seminaries today, and they say, well, you don't have to seek the Lord. The Bible said you seek the Lord. You know why Zacchaeus got converted? You know why he got saved? He sought to see Jesus who he was. And he got around the crowd. Some of the people ain't never going to get saved if they get around the crowd. They got to get whatever bothers them, they got to get around it. He went on, climbed up a sycamore tree. He didn't know the Lord knew where he was, but the Lord knew where he was at. And you know what? The Lord knows where you're at too. I've seen people hid among church members. They was a church member themselves, and they'd hide among church members. The Lord's got your number. He knows right where you're at. He got right there at that sycamore tree and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Hurry up. Come down. Today I must buy my house. And Zacchaeus come down and received the Lord joyfully. You know the rest of the story, don't you? He got right with God, then he started making confession. Behold, Lord, half my goods I give to feed the poor. He's a rich man. And said, if I've taken anything from any man before false accusation. Of course, he knew he was a crook. He's a tax man. All tax collectors are crooks. Said, I restored fourfold. Said, this day salvation come to your house. This day got salvation by grace. Jesus gave him the call. All Zacchaeus had to do was obey what was told him. When he obeyed what was told him, come down. Do you know what? Everybody that Jesus saves, he calls them down. If you're saved, he calls you down at the feet of Jesus. In your heart, you might not be able to get down on your knees, but he calls you down. Submission 100% to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. When you do that, you'll get what Zacchaeus got. He'll go home with you.
Yes, sir.
And he went on to go home with you like he did Zacchaeus in the body. He'll live with you when he goes home with you. Now, ain't that a blessing?
Yeah.
You like that? I'm glad he went home with me. You know, other things you find in your search of scriptures, the blood of Jesus Christ is the ground for our forgiveness and salvation. That on that merit, what Jesus Christ's blood, see what that him, not by the blood came, but by his own blood, obtained the eternal redemption for us. So as Christ went back to heaven, both in the Old Testament time, they took animal's blood into the holy place and sprinkled the holy of holies, the altar there, and one time a year, the Lord postponed their sins for another year. But Christ entered into heaven itself. That was a picture of what, that was a picture there in the Old Testament. Now, God's on the throne. Christ is going back to heaven. He enters in to heaven itself and sprinkles his blood on the mercy seat and sits down on the right hand of the throne of God. Now, you can't get to God without coming through Christ. John 14. And you can't get to Christ without coming through the blood. That blood, Romans 3:24, the blood of Christ has been set forth to be a propitiation, a satisfaction for our sins, not for our own, but also for the sins of the whole world. No other way. What the Bible talked about there in Revelation 1:5, about him washing our sins away with his own blood, that's a judicial act. That blood's been sprinkled there. You come to God through Christ, turning from your sins, living in Christ and his blood, which is a total representative of his redemptive work. God washes your sins away in the blood of Christ. That's a judicial act. Yes. Now this is Mitchell theology here. Don't ask no questions about it. Everybody's name's in the Lamb of God. Now I know they got songs. There's a new name written down in glory. There's nothing wrong with that. No scripture to prove it. Right. If everybody's name's not in there, what about the aborted babies?
Yeah.
What about the infant that dies? Because everybody's going to go to hell. No, they're not in the Lamb of God. That's what it says. There's nobody's name been put in there since the foundation of the world. But sin's got it blotted out. When you come responsible, your conscience is awakened. What we call is that age of accountability. You're accountable. No, you're set to be lost before God.
Yeah.
Your sin blots that name out. Your name don't appear. I see you're listening. Then you come through that blood, exercise faith in the blood in Jesus Christ. That blood judicially washes that sin away, and your name appears.
Amen.
Now Jesus told him in there, is that Luke 10? When he come back, said, even the spirits are stuck to us. He said, don't rejoice because of that. Rejoice because your name is written in heaven.
Amen.
Well, and I said to me, he said, Brother Mitchell, when was your name written in heaven? I said, I don't know. I know when I found out it was there.
Amen.
There's no scripture to say, Lord, got so many prayer right names all the time. That's why there's a judgment. There's an opportunity if you get your sins blotted away from your name, your name appears, and if you turn it down, your name won't appear there. That's why we've got eternal life. Eternal life. I keep going over this. It didn't start when I got it. Eternal life. Christ is eternal life. Eternal life is in Him. When I got into Christ, then I've got eternal life because I've got His life. It goes all the way back and all the way forward.
Yeah.
So my name's been, that's why it says, according to the children of the infant foundation of the world, our name's been in all the time.
Yeah.
He ain't writing nobody. That's not hyper-Calvinism. That's Bible doctrine. See, based on God's foreknowledge, God foreknew everything. God didn't predestinate everything, but God knew everything. He didn't predestinate you to be here, but He foreknew you would be here tonight. Ain't that right? See, predestination has to do with saints only. When you get saved, predestination, that means your destination's changed. When you get saved, you're in a state and a standing of the elect and predestinated to be conformed to the image of God's Son. That's a Bible word. Because some religious nut got a hold of all the deacon, got hung up and throwed everything else away and started preaching on election all the time. That don't make it not so. They just got it all messed up. And I'm not throwing off on them. I'm just saying they need to be straightened out on that. Did you know Apollos, and I'm a little off here, Apollos was a good man, zealous in the things of God, mighty in the scriptures, reading Acts 18, fervent in spirit, preaching in the synagogue, knowing only the baptism of John. Aquila and Priscilla, they'd been with Paul, they'd got converted.
Yeah.
And they was tent makers too. Paul's a tent maker, he probably stayed at their house, I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
And he expounded the way of God to them. They saw Paul's doctrine, salvation, the grace, justification, and faith. They heard Apollos preaching, he was an eloquent man. They didn't run up there and say, hey, you're wrong. They saw that he didn't understand anything because he knew only the baptism of John. He preached the Old Testament message. You know what they done? They took him aside. I'm saying they took him home with them.
Yeah.
And expounded the way of God more perfectly to him.
Yeah.
Where we are, dispensationally. And you know what? Next time you find him, he's back out there persuading people that Jesus is the Christ. He stopped, got off that John's baptism, and started preaching Jesus is the Christ. Did you know Campbellites are still preaching John's baptism? 2,000 years old and older. You can say amen right there. Somebody ought to be helping me preach. The Bible is a progressive revelation. You don't go backwards to Acts 2. You go forward in the epistles. You go backward, you go to a Jewish message, the kingdom message. We're over here now. I believe in the kingdom. We're now in the church dispensation where the reconciling work has been accomplished, fully accomplished, all together. I say, praise God. So, you've been washed in the blood. You rejoice in the blood. You know that blood's been set forth for you. Now, you've got faith in Jesus Christ and His redemptive blood that He shed at Calvary that's washed your sins. If not, you need to get saved. Well, they'll say, well, I go to church. I said, well, I go in the garage, but that don't make me an automobile because I go in the garage. Going to church don't make you a Christian. You ought to go to church. Everybody ought to go to church. You ought to go out there and hear a singing preacher, but that don't make you a Christian. Have to be born again to be a Christian. Be washed in blood to be a Christian. Then you can enjoy what's going on out here. Get all shut up about it, can't you? You'd be surprised the million people in America that thanks because they go to church and they're saved. It makes them Christian. I've talked to some of them. You ever talked to them? They go out there, and some of them goes out there and gets a little wafer, a little juice. They think that does it. Billions of people. Well, I'll be preaching to them. I'll be persuading. You say, well, they got their own religion. I'm going to fool them. That's the kind of people Paul fooled with. Of course, it made a man now and got you in trouble. It may get you in trouble. If you go out there, you know, they say, you're not saying I'm wrong, are you? Say, I'm saying Jesus and the Bible's right. They'll get the message. That's what you need to do. You read this Bible, you find out, search the scriptures, salvation is a no-soul salvation between an individual, between me and the Lord, you and the Lord. You know, preacher, I tell you, you might not remember the day of the week, the day of the month, the time of day, but you do remember the experience. Amen. Don't you remember when the Spirit of God flooded your soul, got the assurance that your sins are washed away? Do you remember that? I think you remember that more than you would anything else. I think so. Don't you think so? Paul said, I know whom I believed. Every time he started testifying through the book of Acts, he went right back to where the light shined around him. You remember that experience of grace? Heard the voice. If you're saved, you've heard the voice. Not the audible voice, but you heard the inner voice. Come unto me. Come for all things in our rest. You remember that invitation? That command? That call? I remember that as well as this last week. That's been over 57 years ago. They didn't know I was lost. They didn't nobody know I was getting the call but God and me. I could have joined the church. I sung a song, some of them shouted, and they thought that they're saved. I was sitting in a little old storefront church with theater seats, sitting back about 5 or 6 seats next to the aisle. They thought I was already saved. When I went forward and said, I said, hey, I can't carry load no further. I need to get saved. They said, here's what we thought was already saved. Well, I didn't tell them that, and they didn't ask me. Somebody sitting right by you may not be saved. Did you ever think about it? You may be sitting right by somebody. You say, I think they are. They know they are. They are. We do think. We think they are. But if you're saved, you know you are. You remember the time, you tell us about the place. I know whom I believe. I believe in Jesus Christ. Best way I knew how. I trusted it. After I heard the gospel of my salvation, I believed in Him and trusted Him. And I received the Holy Spirit of God. A promise unto the day of redemption. Ain't that a blessing? And we know we passed it up because we love the brother. Listen, I've seen a time in my life when I wouldn't have been up here on a Monday night up here. Hearing the fellow scream around here out of the Bible, I didn't know anything about, didn't believe. I wouldn't have been up here. I'd have been out with somewhere where most church members are. But since I got saved, since the love of God dwelt in my heart, since the love of the Bible, and love of the Lord, and love of the Lord's people, I have a desire to come here. One fellow said, ain't it a long ways over to that church? I said, I drove up in that to dance.
Yeah.
And stayed all night. Yeah. You know, people used to stay all night dances. Sun would be coming up. Nowadays, they have to drive 14 blocks. They say, I'll go over there, but it's a long ways over there. And then, yes, they'll go down to the stadium. Amen. I'm not trying to hammer on you, but they'll go down to the stadium and sat out there on a cold November night, wrapped up in an overcoat, and think they got a bargain. And have to pay to get in. Ain't that all fair? You think about people doing it. Church members don't do it. You say they're saved. They say they are. I hope they are. But they ought to have the love of God in their heart. Enough of the scriptures and the saints of God and the servants. They don't want to come out here.
Amen.
Don't you think so?
Yeah.
That's what I believe, Doug. I think you have a no soul salvation. It's a personal relationship between you and the Lord. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I am. Nevertheless, I live. In other words, I'm crucified, I'm dead. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. But often I now live in the flesh, I live in the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me personally. It's a personal relationship. I can't stress that too hard. You don't get saved on general truths. Listen now. Listen carefully. A lot of general statements in the Bible. Y'all still love the world? That's a general statement. I believed that all my life, but I wasn't saved. Christ died for sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. I believed that all my life, but I wasn't saved. I believed the creation, believed the virgin birth, believed the sinless life of Christ, believed the general death of Christ. All of it. Facts. General truths. When they become personal to me, I find out I was a child of wrath. I'm under condemnation. I'm going to hell. Then I lost sight of everybody else. Just me and the Lord. As long as you look at somebody else, you ain't going to get saved. You got to get your eyes off everybody else. You say, there's the people in the church that don't do right. There's only 12 original apostles, and one of them was the devil. They've always been people in the church that will do right. And you can't make people do right. There's no use me getting up here trying to make people do right. If right's not in you, you're not going to do right. Right has to be in you. Then if it's in you, then I can help you do better. But I can't make you do right. You can't make anybody do right. So, you got to get everybody else out of your sight. Set your affection on things above. Look at him. Come to him. And then you're likely to get saved if you get to look at him. That's right. If you look at him, look at yourself. Look how holy he is. Look how unholy you are. Look what he's done that you couldn't do. He's done for you. Then you trust him. It's a personal relationship. He gives a personal call. 167 times in the New Testament, the word call is equivalent to the word call. You see, you're calling, brethren. You're calling. Not many mighty, not many wise, noble according to the flesh are called. God chose the foolish things to found the wise. Do you remember when he called you by his grace?
Yes, sir.
Well, I remember. Called us from darkness into his marvelous light. He was calling me. I heard his call.
Yeah.
You heard his call, didn't you?
Yes, yeah.
You didn't even hear the call when he called you to preach. The Bible don't tell you to call to preach, you know. Everybody's called a witness, but I'm talking about being a public preacher. It's a personal call.
Right.
Personal call. Salvation's called just as personal.
Yes, sir.
Just as personal. You find it in the Bible, when you search the scriptures, saints have a bright future. Now it's looking pretty dark right here. I can go over a lot of this. Looking dark. And every day, it's a little darker.
Yeah.
Every day. They're going to bring all the third world folks that can get over here with all kinds of diseases. Got the borders open. But be kind to them, dumb animals. And,
yeah.
And everybody come in here. Be kind. You know, that's what they call kindness. Tear everything down. Give our liberties away. Bring all them idol gods in here. That's what they've done. And it's bad. I could preach all night on how bad things are. Things are bad. But you know what? When you quit looking at the world and you look up, it's looking pretty good. It's got to get this bad and worse than it is now for us to get out of here for the Lord to come. So it's a getting fixed for the Lord to come for the church. I'm glad it's getting fixed, aren't you? I didn't think it'd last this long. It might last a while longer. I don't know. But it can't go on too much longer, I don't think. The Lord's going to come. We know. For the earth house this time we're dissolved, we have the building of God. House not bigger than eternal heaven. That's pretty bright looking to me. Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. That looks pretty bright to me. There's not many people rejoicing in hope of the Lord God, rejoicing because Jesus is coming soon. That's what you're supposed to be doing. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. Rejoicing in hope. I mean, we got a blessed hope, looking for a blessed hope, and rejoicing because Jesus is coming. When it gets so bad, he will get us out of here. Somebody said, well, you think we're going to great tribulation? No, but some people probably in the world tonight thanks are in it now. See, they're cutting heads off over some of them countries. They've started over here already, you know. If there's much to us and we send what we ought to, they'll probably cut some of our heads off. Oh, me and amen. I'm talking to myself, too. You know, thought of our religion wasn't in the building. If it was like it was in apostolic days, when they got out and went up and down the streets and marketplaces preaching, they might cut our heads off. They might call us violating other people's human rights, religious liberties. You reckon they might? I've thought about that. Trying to force our religion. They already think, you know, that we're radical, right-wing radicals. Did you know they think that about you?
Yeah.
Fanatic. Did you know they think you're a fanatic? Don't you hate to be called as nice as we are? You know, we're really nice folks. Don't you think? Don't you hate to be called a religious fanatic because you believe in the King James Bible? You believe just one way to heaven? You believe just one Savior? You mean you're not inclusive? That's what they say about us. One person said, Mitchell, you're not inclusive. I said, I include everybody. God does. I can't help it if God excluded the liars and thieves and drunkards and adulterers and effeminate and sodomites. I can't help that. I didn't put that in the Bible. God excludes everybody besides His blood-washed folks.
Yeah,
that's right. Now, you might not be in right now, but you could get in because the door's wide open if you want in. But now some folks don't want in. They're not interested. Now, once in a while, though, somebody will say, the Lord will speak to somebody. They'll listen. They'll be doers of the word. They'll receive with meekness the engrafted word, which they will say to the soul, and they'll say, I don't understand it, but I want in on that.
Yeah.
And they'll get in on it once in a while. Not many, but one day once in a while. You could get in tonight, you know, if you're not saved.
Yes, yeah.
Listen, it's very serious. Hell's a long time. Life's mighty short. It wouldn't take us long to die. Oh, I'm telling you, we've got to face God. You know, how you reckon it'd be tonight if everybody had come as clean as we'll have to be when we face the Lord? Did you ever think about it? I've thought about it, even today. What would I do and how clean would I come if I'd come as clean as I'll have to be when I face the Lord? So then every one of us must give an account of himself to God. Even the secret things going to be brought out. We might not know, but the Lord knows. Why don't you just put up the white flag tonight if you're not saved? And say, hey, I'm not going to fight it anymore. I'm going to come and get saved. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer.